Party Line presented by Clinton Carroll, Boone County Daily News.com, Big Deals, Big O Tires, Ivy Tech Community College, Marshan's Window Tinning, and TC Trailers. The online telecast you could be watching right now at HoosierlandTV.com. That's brought to you by Ellis Jewelers, Town and Country Glass, Witham Health Services, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Simplify Family Dental, the Community Foundation, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Newell Gas, Welty Exteriors, Arborwood by Shoups, Big O Tires, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Shoups Country Foods, The Farmers Bank, and 51 West Event Center. Mel, what is our chance of getting a little sunshine today?
We might see a little bit, yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah, we'll take it.
I think that's what it was. I always shuffled my paper so much already that because I got surprised. So, but yeah, partly sunny today, 23. They did take the wind chill out, so I was so happy to see that. It's because it came in overnight.
Yeah, you know, that the other system, thing is, though,
the system moved in quick.
Yesterday, when I looked at the forecast for the extended, there were some 50s in there, and now they've backed those down to 40s. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'll still take 40. I'm not complaining.
I don't know about anybody else, but yesterday, when the sun was shining here, it was snowing in Rusheville.
It was,
literally.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
I got a FaceTime, and it was snowing in Rusheville, and Liz and I were looking at that and then looking out the window, and it's like, okay, better you than us.
Yeah. We will get right to it today because our guest is already on the line with us this morning. We're pleased to welcome and introduce Eric Pfeiffer, who is president and news director of Hoosier Ag Today. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me. I will say, I have to go back just a moment. I was listening to you do all of that reading just then, and I've got to say, I'm only a little disappointed. I heard, what was it, WeLoveBigDeals.com, and I was waiting for you to come out with a song there. You know, like, love big deals and we cannot lie.
You do not want to hear me sing in any way, shape, or form. I'm just going to tell you, Eric.
I'll testify to that.
I'm just saying, I'm only a little disappointed.
So. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe next time.
Yeah, but no, thank you for having me. I hope you guys are doing well this morning as well. We saw a little bit of snow here in West Lafayette, where I am, a little bit yesterday, but not much. It was gone by midday, and it was even off the ground. It started melting here pretty quickly. So I think in Indiana, in Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, we've got some scattered snow showers on Friday, but otherwise, looks like not a whole lot of snow across the entire state, so I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. We are definitely looking forward to just not such cold temperatures. You know, I know it's going to be cold in Indiana, but boy, last couple weeks were brutal.
Amen. I'm right there with you. You know, I've told folks before, you know, we often refer to ourselves as hats. I've told my wife, you know, maybe we should, you know, go south, find somewhere warm, but you know, Florida Ag Today, that doesn't really work. Fat's not very good. South Carolina Ag Today, that's not any better. You know, we don't really want to be scat either. So, hat it is. Hoosier Ag Today, we're going to stick around.
Well, they used to call me the Ag Hag, so, you know, hat's better. I guess you're right. So, well, Eric is joining us. He is going to be a guest with us when we have Ag Day, which is coming up in March, a big day here. But we wanted to get him on prior to that because there is really a lot going on in agriculture. We have a big agriculture community here, a big base farm community as well. And so first things first, let's back up a little bit. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and really kind of how you landed into the role that you're in now.
I got lucky. Really, that's what it is. I started doing radio in high school. I was 16 years old and started doing radio for Andy Eubank, who works with me now here at Hoosier Ag Today. He was my boss back in Logan Sport, which is where I grew up. And, you know, I just fell in love with radio. And you guys know this. You get the radio bug, it just doesn't go away. So radio is my background. Farming is not necessarily where I lived. You know, the most I knew about radio when this whole thing first started was I emceed a couple of Cass County 4-H Fair Queen contests. That was it. But I've been so fortunate to really get into this space, and I've had some great farmers that have kind of taken me under their wing and brought me along to teach me so much about this industry. from what happens on the farm, in the field, and also at the State House from a policy perspective, what happens in Washington, D.C. from a policy perspective, that just has such an impact on our Indiana farms and on our rural communities across the state. And this has absolutely turned into a passion for me. I get to work with the absolute best people in the world, in America's farmers, Indiana's farmers, as well as radio folks like you guys, Cindy, Melissa. I mean, I truly get to work with the best folks in the country. I'm very blessed. I've been with Hoosier Ag Today now for 8 years, and Gary Truitt founded this company. We celebrate our 20th anniversary as Hoosier Ag Today this year. Gary's been doing this for, gosh, I think 45 years now in Indiana.
Yeah.
And has created two different networks now, and has been around just a long time. He is starting to really wind down and look toward retirement, and well-deserved, because what he's done has just been absolutely fantastic and incredible. And we're just very happy to be able to continue what he has built and make sure that our farmer listeners, those who support agriculture, our politicians that need to support agriculture, that they continue to get the latest Indiana farm news and updates so that they know what's important to our Indiana farmers.
Now, you tell Gary you can't retire until I retire. It's not fair.
And I'm not letting her retire yet, so there's... Eric Pfeiffer is president and news director of Hoosier Ag Today and our guest on Party Line.
Well, Eric, I know you travel the state, you do, and again, like you said, you talk to everybody, from politicians to the guy that's out there throwing buckets of feed. So what are some of the main concerns that you're seeing right now? I know, the farm bill is huge. That is a major discussion amongst everyone.
Yeah, we can start with the farm bill. That's absolutely a major conversation. And the problem with the farm bill is that this farm bill has been broken up now. In years past, you can look toward the farm bill and you can see that there's been a lot of cohesion here. There's been a lot of bipartisan movement, and the Ag Committee, both in the Senate and the House, have been very bipartisan. Things get done there. It's just been traditionally the most bipartisan committee on both sides of Congress forever. As you both well know, that there's not a whole lot of bipartisanship happening right now anywhere. And unfortunately, that has kind of into both ag committees as well. The problem with this, people have talked about, we need to, separate this farm bill, and it needs to be farming. Most of the farm bill in years past has contained nutrition, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Like 90% of it is SNAP. And folks are saying, we really need to separate those. Well, I would say you don't want to do that, because if you do that, now you have these politicians from more urban areas. They don't much care about getting farm stuff passed. They want to make sure the nutrition stuff gets passed, because that's really more their constituency in some of those major cities. If you have them together, it's always been less about whether there's a D or an R next to their name. It's more about urban and rural. Well, even now, that's gone away, because we saw with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that President Trump championed and Republicans were able to get through, SNAP was taken care of in that act. They were able to make some cuts to that, get it where they wanted that to be, and so now that's out. That's taken care of. We were able to make some adjustments to certain parts of the farm bill with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, and I know that farmers were appreciative of some of those things. The biggest thing probably being reference prices, making sure that those reference prices, basically being the lowest price for corn, soybeans, wheat, whatever those be, to be able to be paid out for insurance costs and things like that. Those did get raised. So that was a big thing that farmers wanted to see in a new farm bill. That got taken care of. But the problem is, we still have a lot of other programs that are being facilitated by a farm bill that goes back to 2018 now. So think about inflation since 2018. Think about how much has changed in the farm community, in every community, since 2018. It just needs updated. And without those big factors that I just mentioned, there's not a big rush to get anything done. So that's where we sit right now, and that's a major topic there out in D.C. When we look at the field, in the field itself, you're talking about the guys that are out there, you know, with the buckets throwing seed. It's as simple as this. Low prices coming back to the farmer, high costs for the farmer.
Yeah.
The inputs that farmers are facing right now, the cost of those inputs, fertilizer, seed, anything else you got to put on that ground, the cost continues to rise. Again, inflation took those prices way up, and, you know, even if we could snap our fingers and inflation is completely fixed, you know, those prices aren't just going to go right back down.
No.
That's not how it works. So that's where we're at right now. We're in this period where, yeah, inflation has gone down a little bit, but those prices aren't going to come back down. Not anytime real soon, anyway. So we've got those high costs, and right now the price is coming back to farmers. Man, I look at studies from Purdue University right now about the break-even prices that they're coming up with for farmers. And for corn, it's closer to $5. I haven't looked yet today, but I think we're closer to, let me pull it up here. Yeah, corn, we're right around $4.25. That's not really all that close. Soybeans, we're looking at about $11 to break even, and they're about $10.60, just over. So this is what farmers are looking at.
Explain that a little bit, though, to the average person. I mean, those of us in the ag industry have a little background in that, but talk about that for the average person that may not understand the disconnect that we're seeing.
Sure, yeah. Right now, you know, this all plays out on a global scale. For farmers trying to sell their crop, whoever the buyer is, they're trying to find really the cheapest option, right? They're trying to find reliability, they're trying to find sustainability, and you can get a lot of that here from the American product, and that's what we keep selling out there on the global marketplace. We are more reliable, our product is better, plain and simple. But when you have a country like Brazil, who's coming into the scene in a big, big way, and especially with China, and taking up a lot of productivity, I mean, they're doing this in a big, big way, and quite frankly, right now, their product is cheaper. So even at these prices that are down, where I say break even for farmers, that's after they put all of those things that they paid for in the ground, you know, per acre, you know, after they do their seed, their fertilizer, their, insecticides, all the things that they need to put in the ground to grow this crop. To break even, they need about $5 corn, and we're not there. We're at about $4.25. We need about $11 soybeans. We're not there. We're at about $10.60. So as it stands right now, unless farmers are getting really good at sharpening that pencil and, you know, just driving some things out of their operation to save money, they're losing money at this point. And that's why, you know, we just saw recently, President Trump and Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins announced an $11, $12 billion plan to put more money in farmers' pockets as a bridge to try to get them through to the next season. And I know that for farmers that was appreciated, but then, and this is where we get into a little more inside baseball, ladies, this is the reality of what farmers are facing right now. They announced that last year, and they announced all the prices and everything on December 31st so that farmers could go to their bankers and say, hey, I've got this much money coming. Then we get a USDA report, and these USDA reports can swing these markets in such a big way because USDA is trying to let people know how much corn is there on the global marketplace, how many soybeans are out there in the global marketplace. And that's going to make a big difference in what the price is for all of these things. For corn growers are going to get $44 per acre in aid money. But after that USDA report came out on one day in early January, the market lost so much money that they essentially lost $45 per acre.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about another relief package and seeing if we can get that through. And the sad thing about all of this is that farmers don't want the aid. They don't want these aid packages. They just want to be able to sell their products. They just want to be able to have these trade agreements in place so that they can go out to an open market and sell what they grow, and they do a great job of it. That's what they want to do. So it's a tough environment right now for farmers. And you know, if you're not in the farming industry, you know, we often hear, you know, if you ate today, thank a farmer. You know, if you did it at your table, thank a trucker. Like, those are legit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank a farmer. They're going through it right now.
President and News Director of Hoosier Ag Today, Eric Pfeiffer, is our guest on Party Line.
Well, let's talk about the global market side of it. You know, granted, we've got Brazil and Argentina out there producing basically the same thing we are, and flooding the markets cheaper. But how much are the tariffs hurting us against, you know, some of the countries that normally buy our stuff? What's that playing a, how is that playing a part in some of this? Because it's got to be hurting something.
It is. But I think that even without the tariffs, I mean, you can look at China. I mean, let's really, you know, cut to the heart of this, Melissa. I mean, the biggest exporter or the biggest importer of U.S. products has always been China. China has been investing in Brazil and Argentina's infrastructure for years now, so that when they do get to this point where they can grow these same crops that we are, China can have a way to get all of that crop out and to themselves and do it a heck of a lot cheaper. So to say that the tariffs are the primary culprit, I think might be a bit misleading. Did it speed that process up? Possibly. Quite possibly. Maybe even quite likely. But I think that we were headed this way anyway. Because, again, China's been investing in their infrastructure. I mean, you look at the United States. We have the infrastructure. You know, you can just, you know, let's take it from the farm. We harvest it. It goes into a grain bin. It goes from the grain bin into a truck to an elevator, from the elevator to a rail line, and it gets, you know, to a boat. I mean, we've got everything in place to get that over to China. It wasn't that long ago that Brazil, like, they didn't. South America did not have all that. China has made it to where they're a heck of a lot closer. They have really invested in a lot of those things to make sure that they can get it. And so, yeah, I think that it sped up the process, but I think we were there anyway. And
well, and China's been notorious for backing out of contracts the last minute.
Oh, they don't play by the rules.
No.
And that's what this has all been about. They don't play by the rules. We came to a phase one agreement, and again, you can look at this from whatever side of the political aisle you want. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the one way is right or wrong or, you know, indifferent. It just is. During the first Trump administration, we came to a phase one trade deal with China. When President Biden won and President Trump left office, the end of that deal did not finish. They didn't complete it. So farmers missed out. Trade was not a priority of the Biden administration. It just wasn't. You can't really look at that any other way. Were there other things that his USDA did well for farmers? sure, and you know, we could go point by point. I don't know that we have time to really do that, but trade was not a focus. So now we come back. President Trump is back in office. We're trying to salvage something here. And in those 4 short years, South America made a big push. We lost a lot of market share to them. And I'm afraid that, unfortunately, that's just the reality that we're living in going forward. We're going to have to come up with new markets, new ways to position ourselves in the global marketplace, and new places to send our product. And it's easier said than done.
Let's switch gears just a little bit here. We've been kind of talking in-depth and specifically a little bit to farmers and people who have some ag knowledge. But let's talk a little bit about the average Joe who's going to the grocery store and is wondering why the prices of specifically meat, dairy, some of those things haven't come down.
That's a great question. A lot of folks will say, well, boy, the farmers must be doing really well.
That's what they think. That's what I want to get to.
You know, I wish I could find this real quick. There's this report that comes out each year, and it's really pretty telling. I actually just found it. So you take a look at the food dollar, okay? So whatever it is you're spending, let's take a dollar of that at the grocery store. On average, what actually gets back to the farmer is 15 cents of that dollar. I want people to really think about that. 15 cents of a dollar of food that they grew, that all of those things I was telling you about before, that they had to do. They had to buy the equipment to put it in the ground, the seed, fertilizer, insecticide, all of these things. They had to do all that. And they're getting 15 cents of every food dollar. So if you want to talk about, and that didn't change during COVID, that didn't change, and that hasn't changed for a long time. In fact, when it's changed, it's gone down. So if you want to talk about why things have gone up, you need to start looking at all of the other things in the process. You can look at things like retail, though I don't know that grocery stores are really gouging people. I don't think that's the place to look. Marketing, yeah, you could look at some of that. Transport, I think transport has gone up largely because of gas prices. I think that that's starting to come back a little bit. But processing, I think processing is the big one here. And that's where a large portion of this food dollar lives. So when you are seeing higher prices at the grocery store, I would say just, again, 15 cents is what that farmer's getting. And go back to the beginning of the conversation we had here today where they're not breaking even this year. Ag markets and ag livelihoods, they're cyclical, and right now we're down at the bottom of the cycle. I'm hopeful that we're on an uptrend here soon.
Well, we'll definitely keep our fingers crossed for that. And boy, you mentioned about cost, the cost of equipment. We're talking about million-dollar combines now, and how much equipment costs. It's just mind-boggling.
It absolutely is, and it's interesting you mentioned that, Cindy, because next week CJ Miller on our team is going to head down to Louisville for the National Farm Machinery Show, and huge show. I think the largest indoor farm machinery show in the country. A lot of pretty toys are going to be on display. The big question is always, when are folks going to be able to actually afford it? And if they can't afford it, when are they actually going to be able to get it on their farm? I think that a lot of that concern has been taken away a bit. You know, we were having issues with the chips and making sure that we had enough of those. I think we're past that now. So if folks really wanted that stuff, I think they could get it on their farm. But, man, it's so expensive. At what point is it actually cost efficient? There's actually a very interesting headline. I get some information from Purdue University in their Center for Commercial Agriculture. I would urge any farmer out there, if you've not visited that site, the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, just Google it. They have great tools on their website that you can use to help manage budgets and everything else. But a great headline there and an interesting story: are autonomous farm machines economically ready yet? We keep hearing about farm machines that will drive themselves, Cindy. Mm-hmm. They're there. They're out there. At what point are they actually going to be economically ready for farmers? I think the answer in this article is no, not yet. But I think it digs into when it might be. So pretty interesting article there. We're going to follow up and see about getting that story here soon.
Do you see any of the equipment companies bringing back lease programs? Because those went away, and that's when you stop seeing a lot of sales because of the price. People can't afford those million-dollar combines or anything, but if they lease them for a few years, they could put back some of that money, you know, what they saved by leasing, to eventually purchase that down the road. Do you see any of that coming on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly don't know. And the equipment market right now is so interesting because, again, we've talked about these down markets and these down years for income for farmers. You can just look at the used marketplace. We're seeing used farm equipment go for just absolutely extraordinary prices. I mean, out of this world prices. Record prices. If you follow Machinery Pete at all, if you follow him on X, formerly known as Twitter, which, by the way, when can we stop saying that?
Yeah.
When can we stop saying formerly known as Twitter? but Machinery Pete, he's got stuff on there. Records being made on certain equipment, used equipment being out there. It's almost like what is the best option right now?
Yeah.
You're going to spend an arm and a leg either way. It's just tough right now.
Hey, Eric, are you up for a phone call? We have somebody on the line that has a question.
We'll give it a go.
All right. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Party Line.
Yeah. Good morning, girls. My opinion on what you're talking about is just common sense. Now, you put tariffs on a country, China. Our president is selling up to say, I'm going to charge you 100% tariff. And then the next day, 2 days, I'm going to take it up to 200%. And then he tells Canada, I'm going to charge you 100% tariffs. Now, what country in their right mind would buy from the United States of America corn if they can get it from Brazil or Argentina, if you're going to charge me 100% or 200% tariffs for me to move my product into the United States of America? Do you agree or you disagree?
I think it all depends on the country. Some of those countries aren't really big ag countries anyway.
But
the ones that are, I'll agree. Absolutely.
But Purdue went to Brazil. I remember when they didn't farm in Brazil until you take back in the 60s. Okay? Brazil didn't have a bunch of farm ground down there. You agree?
I hear you.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is right now they have growth potential that's out of this world. In addition to what they have now, they have the potential, from what I understand, to grow by another 60, 70%, if not more.
So how do you figure that the corn prices is going to go up and the bean prices is going to go up when we're going to charge all this tariffs on these countries?
I didn't say they would. I'm not sure how they do. I think that we are living in a different reality now.
Oh, most definitely. You're living in an entirely different world right now. Our world is entirely a king. It's like a king. Whatever he says, you have no backbone in Congress to do nothing. they will not question him on anything. Everything is agreed upon. Do you agree or you disagree?
Well, I'm not going to get into the political aspects of that. What I am going to say, though, is...
Well, that's what you have to do if you want to get these prices solved.
But what I am going to say, though, is I think that we were going to head there anyway. Brazil and Argentina, they were going to continue to grow these crops. China was going to continue to invest in their infrastructure, and we were going to get there anyway. Did the tariffs speed that process along? Again, quite likely. But I think that absolutely...
Quite likely?
That process
quite
was
likely.
Going...
Give me a break, son! Give me a break!
Carl, tell me how you really feel.
How you really feel? We're in deep, deep, deep trouble. Well, we went from $300 an acre ground and up to $15,000, $16,000 an acre, and they kept buying and buying and buying. When I grew up when I was a kid, if you farmed 300 acres, you was a big farmer. And you made a good living on it. We're not living in the... We're living in la-la land right now. La-la land. Until these people... Until these people tell their congressmen in Washington, D.C. to get off of this stuff, things will never, ever change. Ever change. Like a congressman. There ought to be term limits on that stuff. Why should I pay in tax dollars a $400,000 a year retirement pension to a congressman that was a congressman for 40 years that'll draw $400,000? Open your eyes. See the world. See what's happening to the country of the United States of America, the greatest country there ever was.
Well, we agree on the fact that it's the greatest country ever. So, Carl, thank you so much.
Yeah, this makes me sick.
I know it does. I know. Well, thanks for calling in this morning. Good to hear from you. Glad to know you're still alive. All right. Thanks. Eric, always a pleasure to talk to you. We appreciate you calling in. Our time is up for today. But here's the good news. You'll be back here next month, at the end of next month.
And I can't wait to do it. Ag Day is a great day to celebrate, and I look forward to doing it with you guys.
Hey, we appreciate it and look forward to seeing you as well. Thanks again, Eric Pfeiffer, President and News Director of Hoosier Ag Today. Have a great day. Be safe out there.
Hey, you too. Thank you so
much.
All
right, thanks. Take care. All right, we are at the halfway point of Party Line here on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7. We'll come back and talk about Heart Month with the American Heart Association, and a little bit about some football. That's all coming up right here on Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.